Now, one of the good news stories of this week and a good news story for Tralee and Kerry as a whole was the decision and the investment made by 3D printing company Wasp to move in to the Borg Warner site recently vacated by that company. It's a €2 million investment and 20 jobs are to be created over the next 2 to 3 years, I suppose, at a minimum in relation to the development of this company. It started in Tralee. It got help from Enterprise Ireland, Kerry County Council, from the New Foundations Programme at the now MTU. We'll be hearing all about the story of Wasp. Now, I spoke to co-founder of the company, Shane Hassett, and I first of all asked him, I suppose, when he did start out a number of years ago, did he ever think he'd be making this sort of announcement and taking on this many people as part of the company's expansion?
Yeah, to be honest, when we started the business, we always felt that it had, you know, real potential to be, a decent-sized competitive business, and we've always run it with that level of ambition and intent that we would be able to scale, and that there was a solid customer base for the offering that we wanted to create and that we are creating. So, absolutely, I think that this is probably the culmination of a number of years of work. Obviously, things maybe at times didn't go according to plan, and some things happen faster and some things happen slower, but yeah, it's a day that we have been looking forward to, and very glad it's arrived.
And how did it all happen in terms of being available to move into the Borg Warner facility and use that as your manufacturing base?
Yeah, so when we had heard the news about Borg Warner, obviously, along with the rest of the county and probably the country, we were a little bit shocked and so on. But we also had some experience working with Borg Warner, doing some 3D printing for them, and had some level of experience of the facility and knew the quality of it and knew the level of investment that they had put into it over the years. So when we had heard that there was potentially an opportunity for us to get some space in there, and we had been looking for the ideal space for a number of years beforehand, then we just put our hand up as soon as we could and said, look, we have an interesting business, a technology-based business that would make very good use of the facilities that are already in place, and it went from there. Luckily, I think it worked out quite well for us and for the new owners.
And you've been putting through the work and putting in place the facilities at the factory all of this week?
Yeah, actually, since the start of this month, we've been preparing everything for the arrival of machines, 3D printing machines, and the technology that goes along with that. So that all actually started to arrive on last Friday, and now we're in the middle of setup and testing of that equipment.
So Shane, for a lot of people out there, 3D printing is very new. A lot of people don't really understand this, but you've been working with it obviously for years, but it has developed a huge amount even in the last couple of years.
It has, absolutely. When I first got into the business in 2015 and had been kind of aware of the technology for a few years beforehand, I think that, the main understanding of the technology at that stage was desktop home printers, which were, suitable for speed and prototyping and maybe making some, little decorative items and so on. Over the last number of years, with the expiry of patents, there's been a huge entry into the industry of, surprising new ideas and innovations, and that has really been focused on the industrial side of 3D printing, really kind of large-scale 3D printers that, they're not the €2,000-€3,000 machine you put on your desk in the office. They're quite significantly more expensive, so there's been big investment into those. What I would say has been one of the biggest changes in the in the industry is the mindset, let's say, over the last 2 years in particular. Maybe the technology hasn't jumped forward in huge leaps and bounds, but the mindset around the technology has. So for the last decade or longer even, it was the real value add of 3D printing was to create unique shapes, use it for prototyping, and use it for your early stage development and do that stage very quickly. But now, particularly with COVID and the disruption seen to the supply chains because of that, the ongoing issue with the trade issue with the United States and China, Brexit had a big impact. The Suez Canal was another example of disruption in supply chain. And what we found is during this last period that businesses have changed their minds about 3D printing. It's no longer a tool for just prototyping. It's a tool that it's when distributed closer to the point of need, closer to the time of need, then it is a tool that gives businesses a huge amount of resiliency and a huge amount of agility. And that's the area of 3D printing that we founded the business on, that the closer, that we call it a distributed network, the closer that you are to the customer with the printer and the point of production in both location and time, the more effective it becomes, and it gives the businesses real possibilities to be agile, you know. So that was, for me, that the development over the last 10 years in industrial technology and the development over the last 2 years in the mindset around the technology have really positioned 3D printing in a new place, you know.
And Shane, do you think we're in a new era from that point of view in terms of that mindset change? And I suppose that thing of the long distribution lines are far off distances to manufacture your products and then transport them halfway across the world to get them to the customer, that at least that mindset in the short to medium term has changed.
Yeah, absolutely, it has. I think Gartner, who do a lot of research in a number of industries, but particularly in 3D printing, they did a survey of some, I don't know, 1,500 supply chain officers in different businesses around the world, and at the moment I think some close to 30-40% of them are actively involved in bringing their supply chains closer to the point of need, and obviously 3D printing isn't the only tool that will play a role in that, but it's definitely one that that encourages it, definitely. So yeah, it's it is, I think it's a technology for the future, combined with that shift in logic. You know, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to put 2,000 3D printers in a single factory in China or India and then ship stuff around the world. 3D printers become much more cost effective and useful the closer they are to the end user, to the customer.
Yeah, and you work with some of the biggest companies in the world. You were involved in the production of IKEA's first mass produced 3D printed product, and you're working with Puma and Next, among others.
Yeah, absolutely. We've always felt that it was the particularly the larger businesses, the acceptance of the larger businesses of the technology would drive the acceptance at every level with SMEs and startups, and as well. So we absolutely had a great opportunity with IKEA a number of years ago. We delivered its first 3D printed product to 50% of their stores around the world. And we still continue to work with IKEA and have some very interesting things lined up for them over the next 3 months and 12 months, which I'll be glad to let you know about a little bit more later on.
Sure, pretty exciting stuff, yeah.
It is, no, it's great. And we have great customers in Logitech and subsidiaries of Clark Shoes as well. So really very interesting businesses taking on the challenges to go with 3D printing, but obviously because of the opportunities, and equally so with the SMEs. That's an area where we've always found that there was really people willing to try something, the technology or the aspects of the technology that make it useful for larger businesses like IKEA, they apply to the smaller businesses as well, maybe in a slightly different way. For example, a smaller business might like that agility for starting up a product, taking it to market and saying, I don't really know if I need 10,000 of this, but with 3D printing I can make 500, I can test my market, I can test my prices, I can make adaptations very quickly and come back in 2 months with a new and improved product without having to sit on molds and stocks and the investment that goes with that. So,
yeah, that's the agility you're talking about there. What kind of roles will you be looking to develop over the next 2 years or so in the new jobs?
There's five areas, really. There's the product design, engineering, supply chain, then operations, and then sales as well. There's currently two jobs being posted at the moment for a product engineer and lead generation role for sales. The main thing really is to, for us looking forward, is to increase our capabilities, and that really comes down to the technological aspect of what we're trying to do, how to make these products more cost efficient from a unit price perspective, and that all then comes down to how well you work in every aspect of the business, how well we develop the product. product, how much material we use, then how much, how well it's engineered for production, and specifically for 3D printing production. And then obviously with the distributed supply chain, the ability to set up factories to roll out products is going to be critically important to us. So yeah, a couple of very, very interesting roles there that we're already starting to fill, but over the next 18 to 24 months, I would like to see us have grown into those 20 additional roles.
Yeah, Jane, you come through the Tom Crean Business Centre, I know, work through the programmes and different things of Enterprise Ireland and the IT in Tralee and all of that. You know, that all that support crucial to getting you to where you are today, where the company is today.
Oh, absolutely. Even on day one at the Tom Crean Centre, I think that, you know, that a New Frontiers programme, to get that €15,000 grant to develop your idea, to have it questioned and challenged by the people at the centre and the experts that they brought in, it made a massive difference. From, you know, first of all, being able to devote the time to it, but then secondly, being challenged on your idea, having people with experience question how you're approaching things, have made a massive difference in the first 6 months. And in the meantime, obviously local initiatives like Kerry SciTech, the Seed Initiative run by Guido Dwyer, and obviously the likes of Kim Tobin, who are so supportive for us, have been so supportive for us over the years, and have really kind of followed with interest what we've been doing. And then of course Enterprise Ireland, I think our development advisor in Shannon, a guy named Pat Gillen, has been exceptional, has really believed in the idea since day one, has made it possible for us to make investments like we're making now, and Enterprise Ireland has funded that to a fairly substantial extent over the years and currently as well. So absolutely, without local support and without the even the support of the MTU, a lot of our staff, probably even the majority of our staff, started in MTU and came to us after finishing there and has stayed with us for years. So I think that if WASP was any place else, it would be a very different business. Absolutely.
Yeah. And is that part of the reason, along with all the other factors that go into it, that, what does it say, I suppose, about Tralee as a place you can start something, develop it, and have it grow?
Yeah, absolutely, it does. I mean, there's a number of aspects other than the support that you get here. There's the cost of running a business is probably... You know, it's probably easier to get a business up off the ground when cash and things are things that you need to really consider compared to Cork or Galway even, and particularly Dublin. You're going to have a longer runway with your business here in Kerry. And then obviously the local support in a lot of places, you'd find it difficult to, you know, make contacts at banks and revenue in different areas, whereas here you get to know the people, you get to know them by name, you can ask them, how do we manage this, and
yeah,
you know, that kind of stuff really it really, really helps, you know.
Yeah, certainly does. Well, listen, Shane, look, congratulations on the expansion, the role and the job creation, and continued success with you and Mariana and the rest of the team at WASP, and thanks for telling us your story this morning.
Yeah, no problem, Jerry, thank you for having me on, I appreciate it.
There you go. That is Shane Hassett of WASP, and it's a story, I suppose, a very positive story of a company that started here, supported here, and is developing employment here as well, and creating Tralee as its base and choosing Kerry as its base when, as you heard there, the options were open. It's an exciting, I suppose, development area, and it's a story of a circumstance as well. The supply chains that we've become used to, or had become used to over the last number of years, for climate reasons and for COVID reasons and for Brexit reasons, have been disrupted, and here's a company which has a solution to those problems, and that's why they're taking off, or a part of the reason why they're taking off in the way that they are taking off, and creating about 20 new jobs in the next 24 to 36 months, as you heard there, roles in product design, engineering, supply chain and operations. And these new roles as well will be flexible, where employees will be able to blend remote and in-office working. That's Shane Hassett there, who, along with co-founder and chief operations officer Mariana Coble, set up this company and developed it. If you have a view for us on that, we want to hear from you.